Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025, The Game. Streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Derrick Henry versus Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. And right now, nobody can stop Derrick Henry. And I will say this about the NFL. Anytime you play a team, they always say all the same things, which is, oh, yeah, he's a great player. I mean, he's one of the best in the league. I remember when he came out and he was this and he was that and he was. But, you know, we're going to have to figure out a way to try to slow it down and to be able to try to this and that. And the truth is, nobody ever tells you how they feel. That was what made The Last Dance, the documentary about the Chicago Bulls, so interesting, was a lot of people were telling you how they felt. Michael Jordan, who never said anything interesting, unless he really wanted to, was now saying everything he thought about everybody. I think Scottie Pippen was selfish here. I think Gary Payton sucks over there. I think it's offensive you compare me to Clyde Drexler. Like, that was pretty much, you know, Michael unfiltered. And so Derrick Henry is running all over the NFL. And there is a level of intimidation that comes with playing a guy who is as dangerous as Derrick Henry. Because every defense knows that on any carry, Derrick couldn't take it to the house. And everybody goes out there thinking they can stop Derrick Henry, and very rarely do they ever. Remember, before the playoffs in 2020, or I guess the 2019 playoffs in 2020, the year, Bill Belichick didn't even stack the box against Derrick Henry. He was more worried about Tannehill passing. He lost. Earl Thomas and the Ravens said, oh yeah, they weren't as physical as us. They lost. Corey Davis said, when asked about Derrick Henry before the Jets game, oh man, just being around him was just amazing. You know, trying to block down the field, the things he does, he's so this, he's so that. But we'll have to find a way to slow him down on Sunday, and we will. And it was kind of like, will you, Corey? You know how good he is. But you hope. But there's one team that right now everybody believes shut down Derrick Henry, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs. Don't mind the fact that he ran for 180-plus yards against him earlier that season, or that 4 years ago he went into Arrowhead and had 150 yards in a playoff game that the Titans won. The AFC title game, the last time these two teams played, they, by their logic, shut down Derrick Henry. 19 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown. His longest run was 13 yards. After the game, Frank Clark. Now, see, I'm not sure Kansas City did shut Derrick Henry down. When you go back to the actual play-by-play of the game and how the Titans ran the football, Derrick for 4, Derrick for 1, Derrick for 4, Titans kick a field goal. Derrick for 11, Derrick for 5, Derrick for 2, Derrick for 1, Derrick for 4 and a touchdown. So it wasn't like everything was minus 1, minus 2. They get the ball in the second quarter, Derrick for 13, Derrick for 3, Derrick for 5, Derrick for 8, Derrick for 4, Derrick for 3, Derrick for 1, Titans score a touchdown, they're up 17-7. Then after that, Mahomes scores a touchdown at 17-14, 4 minutes to go in the half, everybody knows Derrick's getting the ball, Derrick for 1, Derrick for no gain, Tannehill incomplete. That was the shutdown. Mahomes had that incredible rushing touchdown right before the half. Kansas City got the ball to start the second half, and after that, the route was on. Titans were passing. But they think they shut Derrick Henry down, even though Derrick had to come out of the game. Frank Clark, their star pass rusher, who, by the way, has been a disaster this season. Frank Clark said on the field after the game that Derrick Henry wasn't hard to hit, and he didn't see any difficulty in trying to tackle him. James Palmer, NFL Network, interviewed Frank Clark, and Frank Clark went out of his way to talk about how they shut Derrick Henry down. So even though nobody's been able to shut Derrick Henry down this season, and Derrick Henry's been killing it, there is one thing that lingers in my mind, which is Kansas City thinks they shut Derrick Henry down in 2019, and they're getting Chris Jones back. And so I think there's a lot of confidence, even though they've got the 28th ranked defense in the league, even though they've got the 27th ranked rush defense in the NFL, I think there's a lot of confidence in that Kansas City locker room that they can shut Derek down, because in their minds, they shut Derek down in the AFC Championship game. In fact, listen to this question from Jim Wyatt. This was yesterday. He asks about that 2019 championship game, and listen to how badly Derek doesn't want to talk about it. Take a listen.
Do you remember about past games against the Chiefs, and do you still maybe look back at that AFC Championship game as a source of motivation for maybe you and this team?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's always a battle with these guys. They're explosive on offense. I think they complement each other very well, defense to offense, and you know when they get going, it's kind of hard to stop. So you know we know the type of team we're going up against, and you know just got to be focusing all week to be ready for them on Sunday.
He didn't answer the question. You know why he didn't answer the question? There's two reasons. One, he doesn't want to relive the AFC Championship game in which everybody thinks that they shut him down again. I think this was more so Mahomes made some magic before the half. Andy Reid took the air out of the ball in the second half. Titans felt like they had to pass. Derrick Henry was on the sidelines. I think that's the bigger story. But I also think he doesn't want to talk about it because, yeah, I think he's really motivated from that AFC Championship game. Remember when he went on Taylor Lewan's podcast and he was talking about the Ravens playoff game this year and how he'd wake up in the middle of the night and he was just like,
get spooked by it.
So bent out of shape about his performance against the Ravens. And then when I asked him about the Ravens game at the start of training camp, he said, well, you're only as good as your last game, which was all Derek wanted to say. But when he was in a more comfortable setting during the offseason, he was talking about how upset he was about his performance in that Ravens game. I guarantee you he was upset about his performance against the Chiefs. In the Ben Arthur story in the Tennessean, Ben Arthur talked to Melvin Sanders, who is Derrick Henry's trainer. All these workouts that Derrick Henry shows where, you know, he's wrestling a bull and he's got resistance bands and gold chains on his, you know, legs as he's trying to wrestle this bull. That's all at Melvin Sanders Fit Club in Dallas. And that's who he works out with. And Melvin Sanders said in the piece that Derrick Henry has called him twice from the locker room at the end of the season with his uniform still on. So Vrabel breaks it down. Guys, I'm so proud of you. Great season. We got to the AFC Championship game. Way to go. All right, let's go. You know, Titans on three. One, two, three, Titans. All right, let's get out of here and everybody have a great year. And he's on the phone. Hey, we got to get to training right now. I think Derek takes this very personally. But I am a little worried about the mental edge here that Kansas City is going to go into this game thinking, we've already shut this guy down. We know how to shut this guy down. We already did it. And the reason that's a big deal in this game, because I'm sure a lot of people are listening and they're thinking, well, okay, so that means that Derrick Henry is going to go out there and they're going to walk in and think, we got this guy. And Derek's going to go in there and just run right through him for another 180 yards. And maybe you're right. But I think that guys like Frank Clark, who haven't played well this season, I think they look at the challenge like, hey, I haven't played well this year, and our defense isn't very good, but I know how to shut this guy down. Here comes my A game. So I am a little worried about it. I am worried about the memory of the AFC Championship game propelling the Chiefs' defense, which is not good against the rush. I am worried about that being a factor on Sunday.
Well, it absolutely can be a factor. And you said, you know, nobody can shut Derrick Henry down. Let's think about the Arizona Cardinals game, because it's not like Derrick had a 150-yard and 3-touchdown performance against Arizona.
You ran Derrick Henry against the Arizona Cardinals today. You think he goes to 56 yards or whatever it was?
I don't know. I mean, that's hard to say. I mean, it would be easy for me to say, no, of course not, because he's had all of these big runs and all of these big games. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they clearly learned what they had to do to stop Derrick Henry, and they did it, and it worked. I mean, that's always going to be a possibility. I mean, but the Titans played the number one defense in the NFL at the time, and Derrick Henry ran for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, I mean, yes, I am worried about the Chiefs shutting down Derrick Henry, because right now it seems like that's really the only firepower in this offense. That's really the only thing that's breathing life into this offense is Derrick Henry. And I know that the Chiefs have a not so great run defense. I know that. But I think the Chiefs also know that Derrick Henry is the only life in this offense, it feels like at times. So I'm sure the Chiefs are going to do everything in their power to stop Derrick Henry. Can they do it? Only one team's been able to do it so far this season.
Ian, are you worried about the hangover? Not hangover, but are you worried about the ramifications from the AFC title game with the Chiefs defense getting confidence against Derrick Henry?
I think maybe a little bit, you know, especially if Chris Jones comes back. I wonder more with Henry, though, when it comes to slowing him down. Is it the defense and the scheme? Is it you have to have the certain personnel, kind of like the Ravens were able to do in the playoff game, kind of set the edge? Or is it just mostly because of game script?
I'm with you on that.
Right? It kind of felt like in the AFC Championship game, it was more of a game script kind of thing in the second half than it was necessarily the Chiefs defense just completely overrunning the Titans O-line. So I think there is a balance there between game script versus the scheme that they play and which players they can actually use to, you know, create the edge like Baltimore has.
So I think that if we're talking about shutting Derrick Henry down, I thought the Ravens did a much better job of that in the playoff game last year than the Chiefs did. I think the Chiefs and the Cardinals, to your earlier point, mm-hmm. to Ian's point, I think it's all about the game script. And I think it is get a big enough lead, spook the Titans, and mm-hmm. and convince them not to run the ball. And Seattle almost did that, but the Titans had just done that the week before where they got spooked out of running, that they decided, hey, we can't get away from it, and Derek ended up popping a long one that put him back in the game. And I think that that was what happened. I actually had never thought about this until we did the Reaction Monday, the Titans Monday show, after the AFC title game. And it was crazy because, like, Floyd and I were at the game together. Then we, you know, went to, you know, we got back to the, we were staying at a house in Kansas City. We get back to the house. We watch the NFC title game. Then he goes upstairs because he's in the master bedroom. And then me and Chase are downstairs. And we wake up at like 3 in the morning. We go to the airport. We fly back home. And then Floyd just hangs out at the station for like an hour or something. And then we go on the air. And even though we had all this time together, we hadn't talked about it until it was time to go on the show. And Floyd said that the way he felt the AFC title game played out was that Andy Reid was scared to death of what Derrick Henry had done in the first half, where he was running for 11, and he was running for 8, and he was running for 5. And he realized, we've got a lead and we've got the ball. And he thought, I've got to take the air out of the football. Because what I can't do is start throwing the ball up and down the field, have a 3-and-out that takes 31 seconds, give the ball to Derrick Henry, and let him get running and let him pop one and let the Titans start dictating how this game's going to be played. And that Vrabel fell right into Andy's trap. And when I heard that, now he didn't say Vrabel fell into Andy's trap, but that's what he was alluding to. But when he said that, I was like, holy crap, he's right. That's exactly what happened. And I think that if the Titans could do it over again, they would be more focused on getting Derrick Henry the football. Maybe it means throwing a screen. Maybe it means something. But the only way you get taken out of your game is if you stop giving him the ball. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to have to hit a shot down the field. It doesn't mean that they're going to have to do something like that, because they are. But I do think Ian's right that Derrick got taken out of the game more so than they shut him down. That being said, it wouldn't surprise me if that's Andy's plan on Sunday as well. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your text. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And if you had to bet on Derrick Henry versus KC or bet against Derrick Henry, and you had to bet your house, how would you do it? We'll get to that. Plus, Julio Jones talks about whether or not he's ready for this game, what Julio had to say, and are we a little nervous about Julio? We'll discuss that coming up next here on Stillman and Company. Hey, play silly underdog picks today. Pick 3 football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details. And to play silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Out of the gate, and what's your psych level about being back out there on Sunday?
I feel pretty good. The weather was nice today. It wasn't too hot, you know, able to go out there, move around, so wasn't fatigued. I feel pretty good.
Seemed like when you came off the field a little hobbled, you ultimately were pressing to get back in. Is that becoming too common where you're debating with somebody on the sideline about getting back in the game?
During the game? I can't remember that kind of stuff, man. It'd be so long ago, man. I'm trying to figure out. Let's see what happened.
This becoming too common to the comedy routine.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. I don't. It's, you know, like I said, like old stuff is kind of, it's just old. Like I don't really like, you know what I'm saying, think about that kind of stuff. I always try to do, be week to week, you know what I'm saying, and just talk about this week. I feel great. I feel good. You know, I'm excited about Sunday.
There you go. That was Julio Jones. And I'm going to give Paul Kaharsky a little credit there because I'm tired of the bull crap from Julio, too.
Yeah, the comedy routine, as Paul Kaharsky
I'm tired of the bull crap. See, here's the thing. And I'm tired of the bull crap from the Titans in this regard, too. Mm-hmm. You trade for injured guys, they get injured, and then you act like, why do you guys just want to talk about the injuries all the time? Well, you know what I've realized? I know why you don't want to talk about the injuries.
Because there's always injuries. Because you set yourself up for it.
Because it makes you look stupid that you drafted an injured corner in the first round and he got injured. Because it makes you look stupid that you traded a second-round pick and took on $15 million in salary for an injured wide receiver who's injured. Because it makes you look stupid that you signed an $86 million contractor. I think it's $82.5 million contract for a pass rusher who's injured, and it's almost November, and he's still injured. That's why you don't want to talk about it. I get it. I get it. But that doesn't change the facts. And Julio's hurt. Mm-hmm. I mean, Julio can say whatever he wants to say. He's hurt. You know, he is legitimately hurt. I watched him run on the field Monday night, and I don't know if they showed it on TV or not, but I watched him run on the field, and I felt bad for him. I was like, oh,
you could tell he was
hurt.
Grimacing.
He was just gingerly running onto the field, stops before he gets to the huddle, stretches out like the way Sarah Arnold tells me to stretch calves and hamstrings, and
shout out to Sarah Arnold.
Yep, and then runs right in to the huddle. And I mean, come on, guys. The Julio Jones that you thought you were getting when you traded for him, which is embarrassing that the Titan doctors didn't figure this out, but the Julio Jones that you thought you were getting has not played for the Tennessee Titans yet. The Julio Jones you had in the Seattle game has not played in the last 3 weeks because he didn't play on Monday night against the Bills. And now he's questionable with a hamstring injury. How worried are we about Julio and his injuries?
I was worried about Julio and his injuries when this even became a possibility that he could be that the Titans could make a trade for him. I was worried about Julio Jones's injuries whenever they did make a trade for him. I was worried about his injuries all summer. I've been worried about his injuries all season long, and I am still worried about Julio Jones's injuries. I do have to give him credit, though, because I think he's been playing through a lot of pain, and I think he's been trying to get out there more and more and more. I have to give him credit for that, but he is very obviously hurt.
But does it help you win a game if he can't do anything?
No, but I think it may give the Titans some sort of false gratification that, hey, you know, we're paying him this much money. We got to at least get our money's worth. You know, get out there, Julio.
They've got to reevaluate the medical staff that's clearing these players. That has, you know, cleared them to draft Caleb Farley. And maybe it's Robinson pushing the medical staff. I don't know. But it's got to be reevaluated. It's embarrassing. I am worried, and I reported this, a couple of weeks ago, that I had a leaked source tell me the Falcon doctors never thought Julio Jones was going to play at a high level ever again. That when he was in Atlanta and they had him signed to this contract they couldn't get out of, that he thought, that the Falcon doctors thought, that Julio would never play at a high level ever again. And had I found that out before the trade, and guess what? I bet there's a reason why we didn't find that out before the trade.
Mm-hmm.
But if we had found that out before the trade, I'd have been screaming from the high heavens. I am worried that Julio is just everything that you were worried about when they traded for him.
Mm-hmm.
And remember how I was talking earlier about picks and salary cap space and things that people don't care about? Like, if it doesn't affect you, you don't care about it. That's how the possibility of an injured player still being injured is when you pick him or trade for him. It's like, no, Jared, it'll be fine. Caleb Farley will be fine. Caleb Farley's out for the year. Julio Jones will be fine. It's Julio Jones. It's like, then why don't we just have the Sounds go pick up King Griffey Jr. and see how that looks? Like, it's not, this isn't how this works. And I try to explain this, but people don't want to listen because they don't want to hear it. But it is the reality of what they are dealing with right now, is that you don't have your high-powered offense right now. You've got A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry. And that's it. That's it. And this is a big part of the Julio thing. And if you want to beat these teams consistently, because I talked about the way you won, the way you won on Monday night, the Josh Allen sneak in which he kind of fell down and Simmons kind of got him. What percent chance would you say that that is of happening? That you stopped them on a fourth and short in that goal line situation, what percent of the time?
I don't know. I mean, 10 or less, probably.
Okay. Even if it's 25%, you have to win four games like that. Well, the other three, they convert and they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the difference. And so what do you have to do? You have to make it so that it doesn't come right down to the wire and you're not relying on your defense to get you a big stop. And how do you do that? You score more points. How do you do that? You have a healthy wide receiver. And I will say this, I am more concerned about the wide receiver depth right now. No Chester Rogers on Sunday. Julio's clearly hurt. You have no pass catchers at tight end. I am more concerned about that than I am about your secondary, which is a total mess. Yes.
Really?
Yes, because stopping the Chiefs has never been an option of how they're going to beat them. Outscoring the Chiefs is an option. But people forget the game that they won here at Nissan Stadium 2 years ago. The Titans were down 14-0. Now, some of that was some bullcrap from Bill Vinovich. But, I mean, you remember that one, right? Ian Tannehill got sacked laying on the ground with his hand over the football. And
they called that.
Mm-hmm. He's sacked. Like, he's on the ground.
They called it a fumble.
He's got his hand on the football, gets up because the play's over. Kansas City falls on it. They call fumble. And I'm like, what the? Replay shows Tannehill's like plays over, gets up, fumble. That was awful. Titans are down 14-0. You know what they did on the next drive? They hit Khalif Raymond for a bomb because they needed to back the Kansas City defense up. Well, if you got no receivers, and right now, if Julio doesn't play, and even if he does play, he's probably, 30% of the Julio you thought you were trading for. You have A.J. Brown, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, and who else?
Josh Reynolds.
Marcus Johnson.
I mean, come on. You don't even want to play Josh Reynolds. Like, that's what you have against the Chiefs?
It's at least bodies.
Against the Chiefs on the comeback drive against the Chiefs in 2019. You know how the Titans did it? They did it by a big game by Tannehill running the ball. Then he hit Anthony Firkser over the middle, and then he hit Adam Humphries for a touchdown. You don't have that Anthony Firkser on your team right now, and you don't even have that Adam Humphries on your team right now. Like, I'd kill for Adam Humphries right now. And I didn't even like Adam Humphries. And he always got hurt. But I would kill to have Adam Humphries right now. They got nothing at wide receiver other than A.J. Brown and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. But like, that's it. Marcus Johnson and Josh Reynolds? And I'm going to beat the Chiefs?
Okay, but
with no defense, I gotta outscore the Chiefs.
Those are bodies. There's no bodies at corner.
No, they're bodies out there. In fact, there is a body, Breon Body Calhoun.
And you're not worried about that?
Well, it doesn't matter to me who plays corner for the Titans because Mahomes is gonna burn them no matter what. We were just talking about it, the game they won in 2019. Mahomes threw for 446. Like, that's what they're gonna do. So it doesn't matter to me if it's Breon Borders or if it's Chris Jackson. It doesn't matter to me if it's Chris Jackson or if it's Chris Jones. Now, Christian
Fulton
matters.
But you don't think having Christian Fulton out there wouldn't give the Titans at least a little bit of an advantage?
It matters a little bit. Advantage, no. Makes it better for them now than it would be without him, yes. But my plan, again, to beat the Chiefs is not to shut them down and hold them to 17 points. My plan to beat the Chiefs is to have my running back run for 200 and my quarterback to hit guys that are open that can at least do something with the ball. And I got one guy that can catch it and do something with the ball right now. The rest is Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Jeff Swaim. Jeff Swaim should not even be in the NFL. And for some reason, he's starting on the Tennessee Titans. So I am way more concerned with pass catching than I am with DBs. Because DBs, it's just bodies out there. But
well,
it's
Jeff Swaim hasn't changed. Jeff Swaim has been the same Jeff Swaim all year. So if pass catching
has
been...
He was the same Jeff Swaim that got cut by the Jacksonville Jags. But now I have nobody. Like before, I had A.J. Brown and Julio Jones and Chester Rogers, and I could work in one of these other guys, and I... But now I don't have anybody. I don't even have Jeremy McNichols.
You have A.J. Brown.
I have A.J. Brown. And I don't have anybody. I have A.J. Brown on a pitch count. I mean, I don't even have Jeremy McNichols right now. Who other than A.J. Brown and Marcus Johnson, who's played one game for the Titans this year, like one real game. I don't even remember him doing anything against Buffalo. Other than that, who do you trust as the third most dependable pass catcher outside of those two?
Chester Rogers.
Hurt.
Josh
Reynolds.
Just straight pass catcher. I might have to go Firkser, which is a little bit disturbing because he hasn't been that great this year.
I was thinking Henry right now.
Oh.
Maybe.
I was thinking Derrick Henry.
He's just so limited in his route tree, but you're right. He's at least he can catch the dump offs.
I mean, look, and I get it. I get it that there are Titan fans that are in their car right now that want to hear me talk about how good the Titans are and how the Titans did this and the Titans did that and whatnot. And I get it. But it's not a pretty picture. Now, again, you got Derrick Henry, so maybe it makes up for it. I mean, that's the best part about all this is that the Titans have made so many mistakes, like so many personnel mistakes over the last 2 years, and Derrick Henry covers up for all of it when he busts out for 80 yards.
But what worries me is if the Chiefs don't make that an option, then where do the Titans go?
Well, you lose. That seems pretty likely to me, right? Like, remember the Jared and the GM podcast that we listened to a couple weeks ago? Hey, Floyd, can Ryan Tannehill outthrow Patrick Mahomes? No. Why not? The line can't block. Well, what about the receivers? No. Well, what about... No, I'm done telling you. I've already told you 5 times. And he was right. Because when the Titans won, Tannehill threw for 181. Mahomes threw for 446. So if they take Derrick Henry away, which is what we talked about in the last segment, about the fact that they probably think they can take Derrick away, then you lose. But isn't that kind of the case all the time? Like, what happens
if you can't get things moving on offense, you lose. Like, that's just football.
Well, if they stop Derrick, then what? You lose. Right? Like, I don't see the Titans winning a game where Derrick has 53 yards. This entire season, I don't see them winning a game like that.
Not against a very good offense.
Yeah, I can't see. I mean, maybe they do. I don't know. We're to your phones next. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. NFL Week 7 continues on in FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app, wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay with 3 legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Big game this week. That's right. Titans and Chiefs, so over on Patrick Mahomes' passing yards, given the Titans secondary, over on Derrick Henry rushing yards, because if Derek doesn't rush, then what are you going to do? I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's America's number one sportsbook app. It's safe and secure. They've got fast payouts, and it's easy to use. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up today with the promo code JGM to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on Sunday afternoon's matchup between Houston and Arizona. Win $100 and $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code JGM so they know that I sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
With getting the guys ready, specifically in the secondary at cornerback, what's your comfort level there? What's their comfort level heading into this weekend?
Well, I mean, I think comfort level is always high. You know, I mean, the confidence is high. That's why everybody's here. I mean, certainly it's going to be a huge challenge, and those guys will compete and they'll do their best to execute the game plan. And you know, hopefully we can get some help from the guys up front.
There you go. That was Vrabel talking about it. Very confident in the secondary. I'm not. I don't want these people, though, that want Homer Radio to turn their radios off when I say that I'm not confident and Breon Body Calhoun being activated from the practice squad on Sunday and making a difference out there.
As great as he may be, just don't know if I put a lot of confidence in it.
There is a station in town if you want Homer talk. I'm sure they're doing that right now. Just rah-rah. Let's go to your phones, as promised, 615-737-1025. Let me ask this. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. How mad is the text line at me for being worried about all the injuries at wide receiver?
I would say it's like 80% mad, 20% like understands.
Okay, do you have the maddest of the mad?
Let's see.
That is a tough ask on the spot.
There are a lot of texts in here, but there was one text that I wanted to get to.
Do it.
Keith from Bowling Green texted in and said, it's football. People get hurt. It's not stupid when we're talking about Julio Jones and Bud Dupree, so on and so forth. I'd like to clarify that I understand that injuries happen in football. That's sure. why I'm not mad at the Titans for picking Christian Fulton for currently being injured, because injuries happen. It's the fact that the Titans sign, draft, and trade for injured players already. It's not like they come to the Titans and they get injured. It's that they draft players that are already injured and continue to have injury problems when they play for the Titans. They trade for injured players, and those injured players continue to have injury problems with the Titans.
You said Keith and Bowling Green sent that?
Yes.
Ian, who did Keith and Bowling Green absolutely adore?
I'm struggling off the top of my head on that one.
Keith and Bowling Green was a regular to Ask the GM, and he absolutely
Definitely
adored
was.
Floyd.
Yes.
And, I mean, the truth is, like, if you listen to this show for the last 5 years, you know Floyd hates injured players. If a guy was an injury concern in the draft, then they would put a shield, and I don't know, I think it was like a green shield, and they'd put it on his card on the draft board, and they wouldn't draft him until it got to a point like, yeah, we got an injury shield on this guy, but it's the fifth round and we've got him as a second round player. Then they would take the injured guy. That, like, he hated injured players. And I remember the day of the draft. And we were sitting there. It was weird because the day of the draft in 2019, we were down by the draft stage doing the show from 2 to 6. And then we went to, like, Bridgestone Arena, where they had our own draft stage set up for, like, 7 to midnight or whatever. And somehow the topic came up about Jeffrey Simmons. And he was like, no. And I was like, but it's just an ACL tear. Like, there's no way. No. So if he was your GM, you would have missed out on Jeffrey Simmons. But you wouldn't have all the headaches that you have now. So there are some guys. He told Bill Belichick not to draft Rob Gronkowski. He was in the draft room. And he said, don't draft Rob Gronkowski. Or at least he told me that he shared with Bill his concerns about Rob Gronkowski. Now, that ended up being a great pick for the Patriots. But what is one thing that Gronk has always had a problem his entire career with? Staying on the field. By the way, you know who was a proponent of drafting Rob Gronkowski within the New England Patriots at that time?
Who?
Yes. Floyd was against it. He was against it because of the back injury.
You were for it?
No, I wasn't. I'm not with the Patriots.
Well, I didn't know, just, you know, third party.
Ian, who do you think was for it in New England?
For the signing? Or for the draft?
Oh, Vrabel.
No, Vrabel. Oh. Vrabel's a player.
Oh, well, I would think Belichick would be okay with it.
John Robinson was the one that was like, hey, I'm for it. That like, John Robinson was pro-Gronk.
I don't know if I remember that specific example.
It ended up in The Athletic somewhere, where the only person that, like, talked on the record about the signing of Gronk or the drafting of Gronk was J-Rob and somebody else. Like, people that aren't there anymore. There was nobody who was there that talked in on it. Because, you know, they don't talk. And it goes back to that Seth Wickersham book with all the inside scoop on the Patriots and Floyd saying, you know, deleting the email from Wickersham and saying, yeah, no, not interested because Bill doesn't want me talking and I don't want to be talking. What else we got in the text?
Well, this is, I wouldn't say the most angry, but I would say in the angrier category. This text says, come on, man, 10 lead changes down to the wire. As beat up as the Titans are, it was their choice on 4th-and-1, and we matched their energy. End zone defense is not the same as 20-yard defense. We are beat up. But A.J. Brown, Henry, Tannehill, and every team has second, third receivers. Henry's catching now. Pruitt can catch. Firkser hasn't been as good as we'd like, but hey, he's doing his job.
No, he's not.
Borders actually looked better than Farley. He actually looked like he had the ingredients to be a good corner. Jackrabbit took a pick from him. It's an injury bug. We've been due for a long time. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is the third best receiver.
So that is the most apologetic text I have ever been read. Like, hey, I know Ferkser hasn't lived it, but he's doing his job. No, he's not. Anthony Ferkser is not doing his job this year. His job is to catch the football. He's not catching it. So he's not doing his job. I will say this. Borders did look okay the other day. I mean, here's the thing about Borders. Borders is going to play hard. Borders is going to fight for the football. And Borders is going to get beaten by more talented players. And I don't hold that against Borders. Like, I just know what he is. And so I know when he's out on an island by himself against Donovan Peoples-Jones in the Browns game last year, he's got no shot. Like, and I like Borders. But you got to understand, like, he's a practice squad level guy. And that's what you're going to get out of him. That's why when I talk about the injuries in the secondary, I mean, yes, the Fulton one's a big blow, but he's been hurt. So I'm not going to get too worked up over, like, one whole injury. But swapping out Chris Jackson and bringing on Breon Body Calhoun, that's not a big deal to me. Not having Chester Rogers and Cam Batson and those guys, and not even having practice squad guys good enough to come in there, that's like
how many times have you complained about Chester Rogers and Cam Batson?
I mean, they're just guys. But
now you're going to be lost without them?
If I have Des Fitzpatrick out there, I don't have anybody. Like, I don't have anybody to catch the ball. I don't have Julio Jones. I don't have a tight end. I don't have... Who's catching the ball other than AJ?
You have AJ. You have Josh Reynolds, who we don't necessarily...
They don't like... I have no problem with Josh Reynolds. They don't like Josh Reynolds. They don't want to play Josh Reynolds. And that's who I have to bank on now? Like, the thing that gets me is the whole, like, how everything is positive in that tweet. Like, hey, Derek's catching the ball now. How many catches did Derek have against Buffalo? One?
You just said Derek was the third best pass catcher on this team right now, which isn't necessarily a good thing.
That's the problem. I say that in a bad way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Like, he's saying it in a good way. I'm saying it in a bad way.
Well, it's not necessarily
a bad thing. Derek catches the ball now. And it's
Is that bad?
Derek catches the ball.
Derek catches the ball now. Do you want him to not catch the ball?
He caught one ball. Did he catch a ball on Monday night?
Yeah.
What did he do with it?
I don't know.
Do you remember the ball he caught?
I think it was a short little screen.
I think I remember, yeah, a little swing pass or two.
I mean, I can't remember. But it just, like, we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, we're talking about, you're going to have to
score. We're talking about 3-3 Kansas City Chiefs.
You're
going
to have to score 38 points to win this game.
Is it going to have to look like the game in the regular season? In order for the Titans to pull out the victory, something just crazy happened, whether it's
the one 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it going to be like they're going to have to screw up some field goals or, you know, someone's going to have to return a random fumble? Is it going to have to be something like that again?
So the way you won that 2019 game, Derrick Henry busted an 80-yard touchdown run. You hit a bomb down the field to Khalif Raymond, which you're going to have to hit a bomb. Like Mason Kinsey probably plays this week, if I had to guess. You're going to have to hit a bomb to Mason Kinsey or somebody like that. They fumbled the ball. Rashawn Evans picked up and ran 70 yards in for a touchdown. They screwed up two field goals, and it was just barely enough. That's a lot of stuff
buckle
that
up.
Has to go wrong.
It's going to be wild.
I mean, yeah.
That's a lot of stuff that has to go wrong for you to win that game. But you know what? Hey, it's football. 615-737-1025. I told you if you were a Braves fan, do not get cocky. Do not. Will they get it done tomorrow? Carolines. Plus some college games because the college slate stinks this week. Plus some college games. We'll pick UT Alabama as well. That's next. Stillman & Company right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let me tell all the fine folks out there right now here on this glorious Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me tell everybody out there to join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society for Light the Night. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Also, Join Joe Rexroad from Saturday from 11 to 1 at Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville, located at 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs. The game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds game and giving away some great prizes. It's Pella's open house with huge savings and a last chance to take advantage of 2021 pricing. Bring your window and door measurements to the Pella showroom and receive additional 10% off advertised promos. Pella will be open from 9 to 3 p.m. for this event. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join Chase McCabe tomorrow at Jonathan's in Hendersonville at 307 Indian Lakes Boulevard for Chasers Tailgate. Stop by and hang with Chase. Watch the SEC Game of the Week and enjoy some great food and beer specials. By the way, you know it's a bad college football week when the Game of the Week is LSU, who just fired their coach, and Ole Miss, who may not have their quarterback.
Hey, don't hate on LSU-Ole Miss. It's a very fun, heated rivalry. I do have to say, Ole Miss was always my favorite road trip whenever we were in college because it was like a joke that Ole Miss fans would throw corn dogs at LSU fans because they thought it was funny. They're like, oh, LSU fans, joke's on you, Ole Miss. I eat for free in Oxford. Corn dogs for days.
Okay. Did that make you feel good?
I mean, sure.
You said it like, yeah! And you were like expecting me to get up and like chest bump you or something like, yeah, you tell him, Caroline. And I'm just like, first of all, I have never heard about the corn dogs thing.
Oh,
that is a whole thing in and of itself. But we got to get to Caroline's. And let me say before we get to Caroline's, when the Braves hit the home run to go up 2-0, I thought they were going to win yesterday. When Freddie Freeman hit the home run, it's 2-0. The Dodgers have no pitching. I'm like, hallelujah. They lost 11-2. Time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com. Mention promo code GAME to get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. We've got a playoff baseball game tonight. Red Sox, Astros in the ALCS. Red Sox are throwing out Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, who's 11-9 with a 3.75 ERA in the regular season. Astros throwing out another righty, Luis Garcia, who was 11-8 with a 3.48 ERA in the regular season. I think the Astros get it done tonight. I know that Boston is 10-1 in Eovaldi's last starts, but I do think that the Astros go up big, especially being home in Houston.
I am hopeful that the Astros do not win and that the Red Sox do. I will take the Astros. I expect them to get it done and finish out the series. They're clearly the better team, but I am hopeful that they will not, because then it will push the Braves game up to nighttime, and I'd rather the Braves just play in the middle of the day. So that's just a personal thing there.
We've also got some college football games. Notre Dame, USC, 6:30 kick on NBC tomorrow night. I'm going to take Notre Dame minus 6.5. So both teams are coming off of byes, but Notre Dame is just the better team. And Notre Dame's only loss this season was a 24-13 home loss to now number 3 team in the country, Cincinnati. So other than that, Notre Dame had a 26-game home winning streak. Meanwhile, USC got housed by Utah 42-26 in their last game as 2.5-point home favorites. Notre Dame is holding opponents to about a 32% conversion rate. Their defense has 10 interceptions, 5th in the country. I think that Notre Dame's defense will completely stop USC's offense from getting anything done, so it can be Notre Dame minus 6.5.
I will take Notre Dame because I think USC stinks.
We've also got Tennessee, Alabama, third Saturday in October. Jared's friend Dylan, if you're listening, plug your ears. Give me Alabama minus 25. Hendon Hooker, minus 25. Hendon Hooker left the Ole Miss game, which is very obvious when we saw Joe Milton's fun little run on fourth down at the end of the game. Josh Heupel said he was fine, said he was cleared to play, but I think this team may be a little bit gassed after the Ole Miss game, and that could have been maybe just a little bit to curb that 25%, but I think Alabama just completely blows them out, and I think that Nick Saban continues just to instill the fear of God in that team after their loss to Texas A&M.
I'm going to take Tennessee plus 25 because I think they'll win by 12, or I think Bama will win by 24.
Okay.
But I think this game will be such a blowout from the start, and Saban does not have a bone to pick with Tennessee, so I do not think he will pile on. Tell us about BetUS.
Carolines is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up with promo code GAME and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
Chad Withrow, Outkick 360, joins us next. His thoughts on the Tennessee program after the week that they've had, plus their game with Alabama, what would be a true moral victory for Tennessee? Chad Withrow will join us next. Invigorate Health, my guys at InvigorateHealthTN.com. I love them. And if you are feeling old or tired or fat or out of shape or overweight, go see my friends at Invigorate Health. I've actually gone out there. What I did was I had my blood drawn by their expert physicians and nurses. They break it down with you. I mean, I have literally the printout of everything that is right with my body. Knock on wood. They don't make them like they used to. But also a couple things wrong. And you find out. And there's a peace of mind there, whether it's your kidney function, whether it's your testosterone levels, whether it's any your creatine levels, they find all of that out for you and what you need to do. And not only that, if you're looking to lose weight, if you're looking to feel young again, if you're looking to build muscle, they've got all different avenues to take great care of you. IV therapies, they've got the brand new state-of-the-art M-Sculpt Neo, which I actually did enjoy. Playing with it around, I mean, it's some serious stuff there. But I love my friends at Invigorate Health. Don't feel old. Get your levels checked. All it is a call. Go get your blood drawn. They check your levels, and you'll know. And then they will put you on the path to feeling the way you want to feel. Invigorate Health, again, online at InvigorateHealthTN.com. That's Invigorate Health.